This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Fiona Deering from Lara, Melbourne, Australia. And you are listening to a special Australian edition of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 27, episode 1619. Brought to you today by Remote Coach, Chamberlain's Law Firm, and Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World. It's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
So let the good times roll.
Well, good morning, everybody. Yes, it is Friday. And yes, that was Fiona you heard. And yes, we are doing an Australian edition.
I'm back.
She's back. I know it's not the normal day of the week that we do an Aussie episode, but actually, we're not here today. We've pre-recorded this because I am traveling to the American Equestrian Trade Association trade show in Philadelphia. So we're on our way there to get set up, Jennifer and I. So we pre-recorded this, and it's good to have Fiona back.
I'm very, very happy to be back.
We haven't talked all Aussie things here in a month or so, so it's going to be nice to get caught up and see what's going on down in Australia.
And you have lots to tell.
You have some great guests lined up, too. Tell us about those first.
I do. First up today, we have Anne Young from Horse Shepherd Australia, which is a very, very interesting rescue that's sort of, I guess, come to prominence down here. And they're also now working very closely with our RSPCA in regards to horse seizures. And we've also got Vicky Wilson of the Wilson Sisters fame with us from New Zealand. And as you have probably spoken about before, Glenn, Vicky's been selected to be a Road to the Horse competitor this year.
So not only do we have a Brit this year at Road to the Horse, we also have a New Zealander.
A Kiwi!
So we have a Brit and a Kiwi, which is kind of different for Road to the Horse.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice.
Yeah.
And it's all women this year. So
that's very cool.
It's a lot of cool things going on. We just signed the agreements, and we, once again, the official radio network for Road to the Horse. So we'll be there covering all 3 days of it. And I have a terrific co-host lined up that I'll tell you all about. Mary actually could not do this year, but I got somebody else that you're going to love. So we'll be talking about that as we get a little closer to Road to the Horse. And of course, I'm excited to meet Vicky today, too.
Yeah, I'm guessing you'll be meeting her a little bit more later on down the track.
Yes, we'll be speaking to her again as we get a little bit closer, and I'll be watching her compete right there at Road to the Horse.
She's pretty fun. I've had a chance to meet Vicky and Amanda and Kelly, her sisters, a few times at trade shows in New Zealand, and they're pretty wild and fun, those girls.
Well, good. I'm looking forward. I'm sure they'll all be coming, too. You know, they'll all be there supporting.
Yeah. I'm sure they will be.
Well, let's do some daily whinnies. My daily whinny goes out to the good folks at the American Equestrian Trade Association. They've had kind of an upheaval, which I won't go into, over the last 6 months, that they really had to scramble to get the next trade show going. And they've done it, and they were kind enough to invite us back. They provide us with a booth, and we're the official radio network of the American Equestrian Trade Association show. So we're looking forward to being there again this weekend. We get to meet up with a lot of old friends, our sponsors and new sponsors. And then on Monday, we will, as always, be coming to you live from ADA with a whole bunch of new products coming to the market here in the horse world. It's always a fun show. I know you guys like listening. So we'll be live from Philadelphia on Monday. You have one too, right?
I do.
All right,
yes.
Cool. Let's do that. Maybe. It's not cooperating.
Well, as you said, Glenn, this is a pre-record, so my daily whinny goes out to Joe and Brett Wright, who I hope still love my very first little hero horse I've sold, Young Cheech. He went off to his new home on Monday.
Aww, bittersweet.
It was very bittersweet, and I may have shed a tear, but I have disclosed to them that he can get out of paddocks, that he can undresses himself and friends. So
they
I hope
him
he's
anyway.
Still there and they, yeah, they really did.
Well, you were honest. So,
I disclosed everything. So hopefully they're still loving him. He's been the most fun horse to train and they loved him and they turned up in his brand new 3-horse angle load float and took him back home and Joe's other 2 horses are 28 and 38 years old. So it sounds like he's landed well on his pretty little hooves.
Terrific. You know, it's always bittersweet, but it's all, you know, I always say that for the most part, 90% of the time, the horses end up where they're supposed to be. And
hopefully that's
the case here too.
Yeah, I think so. She loved him and yeah, so bittersweet. But, you know, I've got the chance to give another harness horse off the track a life after racing. And goodness me, they're all moving in now. There are going to be 5. So I'm going to have 5 horses in work,
wow.
And I'm already feeling a little
That's
bit
tired. That's the most you've had in a while, isn't it?
That's the most I've ever had.
Well, there you go.
But the one that's arriving actually raced under the name of Straight to Jail. And, yeah, but the best part is from his paddock he can actually see Victoria's high security prison. So I wanted to call him Barwon, which is the name of the prison, but apparently he goes by the name of Robber. So Robber arrives soon.
I don't know. We always say on this show that the name is kind of an omen to what they're really like. So you got your hands full there, girl.
Please don't say
it's
that.
It's going to be robbing you blind.
No. No, please don't say that. I'm sure he's going to be lovely.
Maybe give him a nickname of, like, lovely. That would be perfect.
Maybe. Maybe I can drop him off at the jail if he's not
there
good.
You go. Well, are you excited to have this many in training?
I am a bit excited, yes.
Are they all standardbreds?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. So I've got another one arriving today and 2 arrived yesterday who we'll talk about with our first guest. But and the gorgeous legs is still in his paddock destroying round bales and still being ridden. So he had a big night out just before Christmas. I took him as a life after racing ambassador to a local harness racing meet, which was a very exciting evening for young legs.
He was like, why am I not running?
Well, he was actually okay with the standard breds in harness. I mean, I've sat on him when he's been more relaxed, that's for sure. But he was pretty good. And when the first horses went up onto the course proper, he was still okay. And I said, I'll just keep him down here for the first couple of races. And then all at once he went, oh, where have those horses gone? And turned around and 15 miniature ponies pulling carts came into the collecting ring, which I didn't actually realise was going to happen. And at that point, his brain just completely broke.
What did he
and
do?
And even the chief steward looked up and went, well, sat.
So you rode the whole 8 seconds? You stayed on?
Oh, no, he didn't bark. He just spun and leapt a lot. And I was more worried about us both falling over or both taking out a miniature. And these little kids, like, I kid you not, like 6 and 7-year-old kids are in the carts behind these ponies with their game faces on.
Were they wearing little jockey silks? I love when they wear little jockey silks.
Yeah, they
That's
did.
So cute.
Poor legs. But 17 one-hands of terrified horse.
The Minis probably didn't blink, right? None of them even spooked.
Minis kept care. Up.
They know they rule the roost.
Yep. Out they went. And they run them. I think it was three times. They ran them between the first four races over sort of 200 or 300 meters. And they have these heats. But I knew they were there. I just didn't think they were all going to come out in one hit. So poor legs. But I brought him back out in hand for a few races, and then I rode him again for the race before the feature race, and then he was just a tired standard bred.
You had mentally worn him out. He was done.
Yeah, but you know, he only had his last run 6 months ago, so he did very well. Poor darling.
Good for him. Good for you for staying on.
Oh, there was a moment, but I had my my breastplate / what you can hang on to in an emergency well put on. So we all survived. But
it's amazing how many horses do freak out at Minis.
He's never been great with small horses, but he's never quite had that.
You know, rate. Jennifer's horse Nigel's with 16 plus hands, and he is terrified of ponies. Now he has to live with Scooter, terrifies him every day. But before we got him, he was at a barn with a paint pony that just would run his little legs off. Just was a terror. And so he's never had good luck with ponies. So every time he sees one, he like flinches and gets all nervous because he's convinced he's going to be attacked.
Well, I put while I went away over Christmas, I turned both of mine out into the big paddock where they are, and all the little ponies at our adjustment were out there, and apparently at day three they were standing underneath legs for the shade so they could fit under him. So I think he's a little bit more desensitized now, but I'm still not entirely sure we'd trust one pulling a cart.
All right, you have a book review for us before we get to our first guest.
Well, I only have a book review of up to chapter 3, but I've started reading Evidence-Based Horsemanship by Dr. Stephen Peters and Martin Black. So Dr. Stephen Peters is, you know, one of those people that understands how brains work and things. And Martin Black is a trainer of horses, and it's absolutely fascinating. It's in fairly layman's terms about how the horse's brain works. So, you know, there are big words in there, but it's not completely like reading a science PhD. And it's fascinating. So it's called Evidence-Based Horsemanship, and it's really worth a read if anyone's interested in working out how the horse's brain really works. I'm loving it.
Now, and so tell us a little bit, what's it about? I mean, what's it get into?
Well, as I said, I'm only up to chapter 3.
But
and we don't want to rush these things. But it really does, and I'm just trying to find the chapter thing on the iPad. Which it doesn't.
Does it read
have.
Like a textbook is my question.
No, okay. That's what I like about it. It's not like a textbook. So, you know, the first few chapters I've read, it really goes into how the horse's brain develops right from when they're a foal, and why it develops so fast so that they can be up on their feet and moving faster than I guess a human child would be. So it does make a lot of comparisons between how the human brain works and develops versus the horse brain, so that I guess it's able for us to sort of recognize those differences. So it's fascinating though, and it's how it works, because horses, I'm sure you know, don't have a developed frontal lobe like humans do, so they don't have the reasoning and that sense of humor. Well, although I think ponies have senses of humor, sense of humor and that reasoning that adults do, that give us that humans do, that give us that individual personality. But it's really interesting. So, and then So Dr. Stephen Peters talks a lot about the science of it in layman's terms. And then Martin Black, the horseman, will come in and talk about how that relates to how a horse reacts when it's actually trained. So it's well worth a read.
Very cool. It's called Evidence-Based Horsemanship by Dr. Stephen Peters and Martin Black. I'm sure you can find it at Amazon and all the regular bookstores.
Yeah, I've got it on Kindle. So,
And we'll put a link to that in our show notes as well. Well, let's hear from our title sponsor here, Kentucky Performance Products, and then we'll go to our first guest in just a minute. This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
If you've ever had a horse with diarrhea, you know what a frustrating problem it can be. Finding an ingredient that works to dry up the diarrhea becomes a high priority. It turns out that researchers have found one, a yeast called Saccharomyces boulardii. It has been proven to improve and halt episodes of diarrhea. It supplies specific nutrients to the lining of the small and large intestines, and these nutrients promote healing of irritated tissues. It also supports improved starch and sugar digestion in the small intestine, reducing the opportunity for imbalances to occur in the hindgut. Nalox Advanced, made by Kentucky Performance Products, contains Saccharomyces boulardii, along with a blend of fermentation solubles and stomach buffers. Nalox Advanced is recommended for horses of any age that are suffering from diarrhea. It also supports a healthy digestive tract in horses at risk for gastric or colonic ulcers, such as performance horses or any horse that is constantly on the go and exposed to stressful situations. For best results, Nalox Advanced should be fed on a daily basis.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com. Do you care to guess how many times it took her to get that that word out and re-recorded?
I was pretty impressed at it. It rolled off the tongue very nicely. 20th. Was she going, damn it?
Yes, she pretty much was. We had to call Karen at Kentucky Performance Products and say, okay, how do you say this word again?
And be coached. Yeah.
But it is a terrific product. You could probably use some of that Nalox for your new horses that are arriving. They could probably benefit from that for sure.
Today we'd like to welcome Anne Young from Horse Shepherd Australia onto the show to have a chat about what this new-ish, I guess, Australian Rescue, who are working closely with the RSPCA, are up to. Welcome, Anne.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Yes, it is morning.
Oh, pleasure. Pleasure. Yeah.
Tell us, how long has Horse Shepherd been in existence and how did it come about?
Look, we haven't been in existence for that long, about 3 years. Yep. And it really came about, one, I worked up in Asia for 10 years and saw a lot of cruelty and especially mainly ignorance, but really poor treatment of horses. And it kind of, you know, it eats away at you. And when I came back to Australia, I felt I wanted to do something about it. And so bought property and with a friend, we started going to the sales and we actually set up an online service with another lady that really drove it, and that was to take photographs of horses at the sale and bid for absentee, buyers, because in Australia a lot of horses go through the sale yards every week and end up being processed for meat.
Yep.
And then from, you know, basically from that, whilst that was a great thing to do, felt we could do more and ended up setting up the sanctuary and the charity.
Fantastic. Now, I'm not going to ask you exact numbers, but you have been involved in two of the, I guess, higher profile group of horse seizures recently, namely the Warwick horses and the Buller seizures, in particular the Buller horses, were quite well publicised on the news. Can you give us a little bit of background on each of those seizures?
So the first one was the Warwick horses, and that was problematic because there was approximately 100 horses in really poor condition. Majority were unhandled, and there were 24 stallions running in the mob as well. So you can imagine for the RSPCA, that was a pretty daunting prospect.
It's pretty much a wild herd.
Exactly. It is.
And it's been really fascinating, though, because within that mob, there were herds and distinct stallions and their mares. And after we gelded them and ran the geldings together for a while, which was interesting, and now they're back together as a herd, they've actually gone back to their little herd. They're not really showing any stallion behaviour, of course. They're really nice little horses now, but horses certainly know their friends and know their mates and the groups that they belong to. So the problem with it, of course, is you never know whether it's because they were the stallion or they were the stallion and the son, and, you know, whether there was inbreeding in these situations.
And obviously many of those mares were in foal again if they were running with that many stallions.
Absolutely. 70% of the mares were in foal. And they were going to start foaling in the middle of winter. So it was absolutely indiscriminate breeding at its worst on a property that had no feed. So that one was really problematic. And I went to a meeting with the RSPCA that were brainstorming with two other really good rescues. One's called the Winged Horse here in Australia, and the other one is Project Hope. And we'd just moved to a 200-acre property. So we suggested that the horses all come here to start with and we start the rehabilitation, which is massive because, you know, it's vaccination.
Yes.
It's teeth. It was gelding. And, you know, as I said, they were unhandled on the majority. So
that's a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
How many bruises?
It was, actually. I only got skittled once, actually, by one of the stallions, so I got off pretty lightly.
Wow, you did get off lightly, actually.
And that wasn't his fault. He just came out of, he was sedated and had his teeth done, but he wasn't as sedated as I thought he was, and I got in his way. But anyway.
Are all the stallions now geldings, too?
Pardon?
Are all the stallions now geldings?
Yes, absolutely. The only ones that aren't were the ones that were seized as part of the prosecution case. So they have to be maintained as is until the court case is heard later this year.
Which is interesting way the court system works. I mean,
so it works the same way here.
So, I mean, the other thing...
You can't stop them buying new horses either while that court case goes. So.
Oh, of course. Yes, until there's... Yeah. A ruling in place, The other thing with this, Anne, I mean, with 100 horses, clearly it wasn't just you and the vet handling them. You've obviously got a team of volunteers who also, you know, aren't just volunteers but need to be competent handlers around unhandled horses,
For sure, right? You need to be able to read them and read them very quickly. We're really lucky, though, because one of the things that I think is so important for us and for the horses is that they do get handled and educated, because an uneducated horse at 10 years old hasn't got much of a future, to be frank. So we have Chris Giles Equine Education is based here at Horse Shepherd Park as well. So Chris is able to work the horses. He does a lot of work for the RSPCA, even, you know, seizures that we're not involved in where the horses are unhandled. And for us, he works our horses and he assesses them. So if somebody wants to come and adopt one of these horses, then we make sure that you're a really good match for the horse as well.
And I mean, that's, you know, so important.
So broke, right?
Yeah, well, so important so that they have a future with their new owner and they don't end up in the same situation. And I guess on that point, I was saying to Glenn earlier in the show that I'm about to have 5 horses in work, and 2 of them are from Horse Shepherd.
Yes. Isn't that exciting?
I know. I did. They're Poppy and Monty.
Yep.
They arrived yesterday at your lovely treasurer Haley's house, who I've known for a very long time, and they're gorgeous. I can't wait to start
them. The socks, aren't they?
Yeah. Poppy was a bit standoffish, but Monty was. Well, she wasn't so standoffish once she saw that Monty was getting scratches and pats.
Oh, that's interesting.
So
your typical snorty. Big standard breeds, and they'll be such awesome trail riding horses.
Yeah. No, they're lovely. And they've both got lots of bling, lovely big white faces.
Yeah, they're nice. And they both had, one of them came from a meat processor, so he'd already been, Monty had been bought for processing, and Poppy, the only purchaser, only bidder on her at the sales was pet food supplier.
Right.
So, well, they're lucky.
They were enjoying their hay last night, and they're about to learn how life with Fee goes later today. Now, of course, the other seizure that made news last year were the Buller horses. Tell us about them.
Yeah, the Buller horses was. I don't know how to describe it because I've never seen horses in the state. And to put it into context, I think there were approximately 40 horses on the property and only 23 were still alive. So the rest had starved to death. They had actually started to eat each other's tails. And it didn't dawn on, I mean, when they arrived, they just didn't have tails. And they were so skinny. They looked like these massive big heads on nothing because there was nothing on the side. You just had the head coming towards you and they were just skeletons. Unfortunately, when they arrived, someone had kindly that day when the RSPCA and the police went in, had given them some chaff. So we had massive problems with colic.
Yes.
Sort of fortnight, as you can imagine. And, we lost 3 of them. So we got 23 came in and we ended up with saving 20. What was really amazing, though, there were 2 mares with foals on them. So even in those conditions, and those mares were in really, really bad condition, they'd managed They were still feeding their foals. And we managed to wean the foals pretty quickly and we've still got them here. And he was a racing trainer and he was a certified trainer.
Yes, he was a registered racing trainer. But I believe Racing Victoria
have been awesome. Really good and supportive, very interested in the progress. They paid for all the vet bills and the fee to rehabilitate them. So, you know, they've been really good. And look, the RSPCA is really good as well. They come out, we have them come out every month we go through the horses and their progress. And I think that's important. So it's not that they just leave them here for sure.
Yeah, and look, where can people find you? Shoot us, what's the web address?
We have a website. We have www.horseshepherd.org.au or, of course, they can always find us on Facebook.
Well, next up we have Vicky Wilson. She is joining Road to the Horse this year in the Year of the Female Competitors. And I would venture to say we have a Brit coming, but Vicky probably wins the award for traveling the furthest distance. Good morning, Vicky. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. Great to be on.
Now, Vicky, have you ever attended Road to the Horse before?
No, I have not. It's going to be a very new experience.
Now, and have you been in colt starting competitions before?
We've had a basic similar version once here in New Zealand. It was quite interesting. It was the first time held in New Zealand. So it was a little different to the colt starting in America, I think.
Were there 8,000 rabid screaming fans in the audience?
Definitely not.
Well, you got that to look forward to. This is the most dedicated fans I've seen at any of the events we cover. It's the feeling in that that stadium is electric. It really is. You're going to be amazed.
It sounds like it's going to be quite crazy.
Now, do you are you actually preparing? Are you practicing on some colts? Are you? And who is going to be your ring handler for helping you out?
So I have a really good friend who trains and lives with us, Alexa Dodson. So she'll come over and be my helper there. And read the training. We are currently in our full show jumping season. So we're on the road every weekend competing around the country. And then in between, we've got camps on and clinics and tours. So we're keeping very busy. But we do have break-ins in between.
And of course, you've started, wild horses from around the world. You've started the Kaimanawas in New Zealand, Brumbies in Australia, and the Mustangs in the United States. So starting different types of horses is fairly familiar to you, I'm guessing.
Yeah, definitely. 4 years ago, we started work with the New Zealand Wild Kaimanawas, and we took out 3 to 18-year-old stallions and mares. So that was a really interesting experience because they come to you the day from the muster as wild stallions. They're not gelded like the American and the Brumbies in Australia.
Yep.
So that was really interesting, working with older stallions and older mares completely straight out of the wild. And then we went to America 2 winters ago and worked with the Mustangs.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an incredibly rewarding road trip. It was probably the best road trip of our life in the Wild West.
Wow.
And then this winter just gone, we went to Australia and we've been working with the wild Brumbies.
They're all three types of wild horses, but are there similarities or major differences in those breeds?
Yeah, very similar in a lot of ways in the type and the how they go. But I guess the biggest thing is New Zealand, we don't have any predators. So the horses don't react quite the same. But the muster process is a little more traumatic for the horse because it's got no time to kind of relax and just become a horse. They literally helicopter, they chase them in, stop truck them to your property, the next day you're working with them.
Right.
Whereas the Brumbies and the Mustangs had at least had that downtime in the yards or on the stations before you actually got to work with them.
Right. Right.
Well, these quarter horses are going to be nothing for you then. You'll be fine.
That's what I was about to say, Glenn. We're obviously not dealing with wild horses.
Well, they are, though. They've only been touched for shoeing and shots. Otherwise, they're pretty much have been wild. You know, I'm excited to see, I'm excited, one, all women this year, which is the first time they have done that. But I'm excited to see people coming in from other countries that haven't really had a lot of exposure here in the United States. And also, you come from the English side. And I've always said to Tootie, I've been saying all along, we need to get somebody from the English side because it's been mostly Western. So how do you see that as different? Do you see any difference there?
I think it's going to be incredibly exciting. Obviously, the first time I sat in my Western saddle was 2 years ago in America when we were in the Wild West. but I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, you have a handle.
And I've bought one since, but I have only used it 3 times since.
Now, will you be using a Western saddle here, I assume?
Probably English.
Oh, really?
Stick with my theme, with what I do. I don't know. We'll see.
Do you
might
use...
surprise you all.
Yeah, well, that'll be interesting. She might surprise us and go bareback. We don't know.
I'll start that way, I promise.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you seen photos of Vicky riding Glenn? There's a lot of bareback action going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of bareback.
Now, have you watched
it's just
videos?
About building a relationship with it's about building a relationship with the horse and getting the feel of it. And I start all my horses here bareback.
Yeah.
And it's going to be quite interesting. I've never used a round pen to break in a horse.
Well, and also, you know, you have an hour and a half and an hour and a half and then an hour and a half. So it's then you're competing right after that, which makes it. And Tootie always has the weirdest things in the obstacle course on final day. So that's a challenge, too.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a lot of fun for us announcing it, let me tell you. Now, you also are obviously besides being a TV star and all of that, you are a serious show jumper down there. And I happen to know, a little birdie told me that one of your goals in life is to go to the Olympics and World Equestrian Games. And we happen to be doing, we also do the World Equestrian Games radio show. And of course, it's coming up right here in North Carolina. So are you going to see you there in 2018?
Possibly. We're not sure. Like, we'll definitely come and visit. The horses, we've got a couple horses in from Europe about 3 months ago, but they're just young ones. So we'll just see how they produce and develop over the time. But definitely 2019-20, we'll be back overseas with a team.
Great.
But that's the long-term goal, is to have a big team and competing in Europe and overseas.
That's terrific. Obviously, show jumping is, you've done a lot of different things, and you're a bit of an adventurer. So we had this question we were asking of listeners last year. What's the most, and I know you've done a lot of weird, dangerous things, but what's the most dangerous thing you've ever done, and would you do it again?
A couple of different things. I absolutely loved the bull riding in America. Absolutely got addicted to that. I was a little bit worried about the horns when I came off, but I was okay there. But we went wing walking in New Zealand, which is when you stand on top of a plane.
No,
you takes
you
off and flies and then lands.
Wow.
And I must admit, the harness and the, what we stood up against wasn't the safest I've ever seen or imagined. But it was a pretty amazing experience.
I bet.
I think it's close to, yeah, close to flying as I think we could get.
How many people in the world have done that? Not a lot. That's.
I don't think it's kind of a thing a lot of people do.
Would you do
I've
it again?
Seen it.
Would you?
Yeah.
Oh yes, definitely.
Yeah.
It was the takeoff and landing was really exciting. It was a little slow, and we're just flying through the air for myself.
What, do you want to be on an F-16 next time? A jet would be better.
We keep changing things up a little.
Well, my one co-host husband is an F-16 fighter pilot. As a matter of fact, he's an instructor. So we might be able to get that arranged yet while you're over
you
here.
You introduced us.
Well, we are excited to see you come over. We'll be talking to you here in 2 months at the Kentucky Horse Park at Road to the Horse. I know it's sold out, so there'll be 8,000 screaming fans there, and I'm sure you'll have a crowd rooting for you.
Yeah, no, it's going to be very, very exciting. I can't wait.
Vicki, where can people find out more about you and your sisters?
So we have our website, Wilson Sisters, Facebook page and a website, wilsonsisters.nz. And it covers all our adventures, our show jumping, our European horses, our wild horses, kind of our entire life.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you in the United States. Well, Fiona, it was so nice to get to talk to her. We had talked to her sister, right?
Yes, we've spoken to Kelly before.
I get it mixed up.
Who has written the books.
Yes.
She's
they
written,
sound alike.
They do. It's the accent.
Yes. Super nice. Obviously very competitive and just crazy.
They're all just the nicest girls. And there's a good dash of crazy there. But, you know.
Riding bulls, walking on wings of airplanes. And that was boring while they were up in the air. Okay.
Yeah, the wing walking blew me away. I've seen that firsthand and stood there just with my mouth on the ground. My father's a pilot, and I've gone to various air shows as a kid and stuff. And, you know, to actually do that.
With a sketchy harness?
Yeah. With. You know, it's a long way down.
Yeah. And that, you know, you only get to fall like that once. So, yeah.
Well, yes. As my father, the pilot, says, taking off is optional.
That's right.
Landing is mandatory.
Yeah. One way or the other.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be exciting to see her. We are doing our coverage at Road to the Horse again this year. And
I can't wait. I loved it last year.
Yeah, you listened. That was so nice of you to listen.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, I will mention that we can make the announcement here now because it's confirmed. Of course, Road to the Horse is the year of the women. So there are four women competing this year. And the first, a lady of Road to the Horse, will host it. So it's usually a male host. host that's that announcer that's on the floor announcing it all. Well, this year, everybody's going to be super excited to know that is probably the most famous woman in the world of horses and training horses, and that's Stacy Westfall. So, yeah, Stacy will be doing the announcing from the floor. I am very excited. Mary could not do it this year because of a previous commitment. And I know a lot of our listeners are going to be disappointed that Mary Kitzmiller won't be joining me. But we have a terrific co-host that I'm very excited to work with. Her name is Tara Carter. Her husband has competed at Road to the Horse before. She was the ring handler, so she was his handler. She knows what it takes to get there, takes to train for it, what it takes to be the wife. She knows it, you know, inside and out. And I'm very excited that she's going to be joining me for all the coverage. We'll do a show on Friday morning, on Saturday morning of Horses in the Morning there, and then we are doing again the 4 hours live coverage of the finals that
where
day.
You try to describe what's going on.
Yeah, how did we do last year with that anyway? How did we do last year? I thought it came across pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, it's not Tootie's not just creating the crazy obstacles for the horses. She wants to hear how you'll go actually explaining them without visual aids to the listeners.
You know, it is so funny because when she initially asked us to do the live coverage, you know, and said she definitely wanted me doing it, and I said, well, you know, I don't know anything about training. I am just the fluff, right? And she said, that's why we need you doing these, covering these obstacles, is because it needs somebody that just can do the fluff. And we let Tara and we let Mary do the serious training talk. I'm there to provide the fluff. So,
fluff.
If I get paid to do fluff, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, fluff is good.
So we'll be doing a lot more. We'll have some special episodes coming up with Tammy joining me just in lead up to Road to the Horse. And then in March, we'll be covering that too. We'll give you more information as we get a little closer. I think the tickets are sold out. I'd be really surprised if they weren't, but you can go to roadtothehorse.com and check it out. They sell a total of 8,400 tickets.
So that's the capacity for that stadium?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, and you know, the one nice thing about that stadium for those that have never been there is there's no barriers. So any seat you get is a good seat. And because the round pens, there'll be four of them, because the round pens take up most of the arena, no matter where you sit, you're going to get action right in front of you, right?
Of course.
And then the finals is the obstacle course, and that's the whole ring. They fill up the whole ring with stuff. So you always have a good seat at Road to the Horse, and that's one of the nice things. Whereas some stadiums, you know, you can't see in certain spots, or there's a pole in front of you. That's not the case. And the sound is good. It's just a perfect stadium for doing it.
And for those people who are, I guess, traveling to be there, are there other things on around that, or is it just
people always go over to Keeneland and check out the track, and then there's always something else going on at the horse park. You know, it's never just one thing. And of course it's Lexington, so you can go to the horse park and tour all of the museums and all of that stuff and see the park itself, and then you can do tours of all of the fancy racetracks. You know, or not racetracks, but racing breeding farms around.
How much are air tickets? Can I come and carry the fluff's baggage?
Probably from you, it's a lot.
Yeah, okay. I've got five horses to work. I've got my own Road to the Horse.
Yes,
going.
You're
going to
have your own Road to the Horse going. Only you can take a little more time than they're going to have.
Yeah, I think I'll give myself a few weeks, not a few hours.
Well, so that's Vicki Wilson. We'll be excited. And by the way, her website again was wilsonsisters.nz for everybody that didn't understand that Z means Z. So just throwing it out there.
It's Z, okay.
thank you so much for joining us again, Fiona. What's going on over at Remote Coach?
Remote Coach, I really need to do some writing. But I've been really enjoying riding instead, I have to say. So I've been doing lots of riding and teaching. However, all the audio downloads are available for anyone all over the world in any time zone to purchase, because that's the power of the interwebs. So they're sort of 30 to 40 minute training sessions under $10 Australian on all sorts of different things. So they're a MP3 file, just like a song you buy on iTunes, downloads straight onto your phone or your computer. You pop it onto your favorite device and you've got a voice in your ear giving you lots of training tips on different things. There's one on serpentines, one on riding dressage tests, one on pole work, and lots more. So they're a really, really fun, cheap and easy way to have an instructor in your ear to keep your training session nice and lively and interesting.
And where can they get it?
www.remote-, I always get confused about that, coach.com.
It's a dash? Yes, it's
okay.
A dash. Yep. So, yes.
I'm normally a better grammar Nazi than that, but
remote-coach.com.
Facebook page. Dot,
it's remote-coach.com, right?
Right.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Or the Facebook page at Remote Coach.
Very good.
Where you can see lots of photos on my cute standard breads that I'm starting as well.
Well, we'll be back Monday morning live from Philadelphia from the American Equestrian Trade Association. We'll be bringing to you at least 10 new products that we find there. They're going to be coming to the market over the next couple of months. So you're going to get a preview before anybody else in the industry. We are
so
always
exciting.
The first.
It's just like being in a candy store.
It is like being in a candy store, especially for Jennifer. She loves going to this because she just, it is. I literally do not see her for 2 days. She's just poking around every nook and cranny there. And occasionally, though, we've had people, visitors come over, and for the first time, professional riders and things stop in, and they're like kids in candy. It doesn't matter. It's just like the ultimate shopping experience. Plus, you get to see it. You get to see it first, right? A lot of the new products, this is the first time they're being seen to anybody. And this is a closed show. For those that always ask, this is wholesalers and manufacturers meet retailers. The retailers come in to buy for their stores. So there's always about 800 retailers there. And they're coming in to buy for their stores. And we always get to see some of our friends from the industry. And, of course, a lot of our sponsors are there. So. Fiona, it's been fun. Once again, thanks for helping us out.
It has been. My pleasure. It's always a great fun time to come on.
And good luck with those five. Be careful and be safe. All right. Wear your helmet and your vest and your body armor.
Always. I'm actually off to buy a new helmet today or tomorrow. So I've decided the Australian summer needs vents on my head.
Have you checked into the price of chainmail?
No, they're standard breads. I don't need chain mail. I don't get on one until I know exactly what it's going to do.
Are you sure you don't want to check in some chain mail?
No.
You're good without it? Okay, good.
I'm all good.
You know, it's probably too hot there right now for chain mail anyway.
Oh, my Lord, yes.
You're just making everybody that doesn't know, it is summer where Fiona is right now. So if you're buried under 6 feet of snow, she's just laughing at you at this point.
40 degrees yesterday. It was too hot to breathe.
That's about 100.
I don't know what that is.
That's about 100, Fairy.
Well over 100. Yeah. It was nasty.
Thanks, Fiona. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.